Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto, chapter number 6, verse number 19. Na hi achutam prinayato bhavayaso suratma jaha atmatvat sarvabhutanam siddhatvad iha sarvataha nahi achutam prinayato bhavayaso suratmajaha atmavat sarvabhutanam siddhavadiha sarvataha nahi achutam prinayato bhavayaso suratmajaha atmavat sarvabhutanam siddhavadiha sarvataha. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Bhutana. Sivadita Sarvata. Nahi achutam pinayato. Bhavasaya Svatmaja Atmavam Sarvabhutanam Siddhavadiha Sarvataha. Na, not he indeed Achyutam, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, prinayataha, satisfying, bahu, much, ayasaha, endeavor, asura atmaja, O sons of the demons, Atmatvat. Because of being intimately related as the super soul. Sarvabhutanam. Of all living entities. Siddhatvat. Because of being established. Iha. In this world. Sarvataha. In all directions. In all times. And from all angles of vision. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshiping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact. And therefore, there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Please repeat. My dear sons of the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshiping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact. And therefore, there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Purport. One may ask, quote, one is certainly very attached to family life, but if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? End quote. That is not a valid objection. The Lord asserts in the Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Sarva yoni shu kunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija prada pita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Narayan is the seed-giving father of all living entities, because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Mamaim bam so jiva bhuta, 15.7. As there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and a son, there is no difficulty in reestablishing the natural, intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. Swalpam api asha dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayan is already ready to save one from the greatest danger. The definite example is Ajamil. Ajamil separated himself from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing many sinful activities and was condemned by Yamaraj to be very severely punished. But because at the time of death he chanted the name of Narayan, although he was calling not for the Supreme Lord Narayan, but for his son named Narayan, he was saved from the hands of Yamaraj. Therefore, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. Pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It's very easy. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful. Whereas, one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. The simple endeavor involved in the devotional service of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed his blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The verse again. Nahiya chutam prinayato bhavayaso suratmajaha atmavat sarvabhutanam siddhavad iha sarvataha. My dear sons of the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions. Whether one be a child or an old man, the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. So it seems we all have a basic need to please and to be pleased. Isn't it natural that we want to try to please as many people as possible? I mean, that's what we're expected of at work, it seems. Or wherever we are, we're expected to please the boss, you know, please your subordinates, please. And it feels good, you know. It's good, doesn't it? But what is the difficulty? There's actually a slogan that people are very fond of quoting. I think they give Bill Cosby the credit for it. But it says, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. So they don't know the key to success, but they know the key to failure is trying to please everybody. And there's a nice story that many of you have heard. There's the man, the boy, and the donkey. Many of you probably heard this story, that the man and his son were once going with their donkey to market. And as they were walking along, you know, some of the countrymen passed them by and said, you fool, what do you think a donkey's for? You're supposed to ride it. What are you walking alongside of it for? So the man, he put the boy on top of the donkey, and he went on their way. But soon they passed a group of men, and they said, look at that lazy youngster. He lets his father walk while he rides. So the man ordered the boy, get off. And then he got on himself. And then they didn't go very far. And then they passed two women. And then one of them said to the other, shame on that lazy lout. He let the poor little son trudge along while he rides on the donkey. So the man, he didn't know what to do. So he took the boy up and took a you know, took the donkey. So they came to town and they stopped and they asked them, you know, they both actually got on the donkey. And they said, aren't you ashamed for overloading that poor donkey of yours, you and your hulking son? So they were criticized, whether they rode him, whether they didn't ride him, or whether one rode him or didn't. So then they got off and they're thinking to themselves, what shall we do? You know, so finally they thought about it and thought about it. So they cut down a pole and then they tied the donkey's feet to it and they raised it on their shoulders. And then they carried the donkey that way and they went along. And then as they were going along, people were laughing at them. And they were just saying, look at this, they're so dumb. But then they came along this bridge. And one of the donkey's foot came loose, so he started kicking. And then it got loose and he lost the balance on the boy's side, so the donkey, he fell over the bridge. And since he was in the water with his feet tied, he drowned. So, but there was an old man following him and he says, please all and you'll please none. So he's telling them, you know, you fools. You hear okay? Okay. Sorry. Let me drink some water. So this is one analogy how people are trying to please everybody, how it seems to be impossible. You're never going to satisfy anyone. There's also the same story about that, about an old man and an old lady. They were walking along, and it's pretty similar to the same thing. But we can see even in our own lives, we're trying to please people. You're trying to please your family or spouse or somebody. There was this, someone sent me this YouTube video. It's about this 16-year-old, he got a truck for his birthday. So they bring him outside, blindfolded, and they say, can you guess what it is? No, I don't know, I don't have any idea. He goes, come on, guess. He goes, is it a car? And they go, no, and he goes, it's a truck. And he just couldn't wait to take the blindfolds off. Oh my God. So, you know, he looks at the truck and it's like he's 16 years old, right? And it's probably his first car. So they buy him this truck and it's a really, you know, it's a good running truck, but it's not very well, you know, it's not very nice looking or anything. But it's interesting in this lot, there's like a BMW, there's a Hummer, there's all kinds of different cars the family has. They're obviously very rich. So they go, oh, you like it? He looks at it and goes, no. He goes, why? What's the matter? It's a great running truck. You know, and you don't have to worry about scratches or dents. You know, it's your first truck, you could ride around and stuff. That would be fun. Be good. No, I hate it. So he goes back to the house. And they say, come on. So he comes outside with a bat. And he starts pounding on the truck. I say, no, no, don't hit that truck. I spent $200 on that truck. Don't hit it. So he sits bounding on the truck and he's pouting. What are my friends going to think of me? I'm some poor kid. You know, like this. So it's like, this is the mature world. Trying to please somebody and they're not grateful. So this is the process of the illusory service to society, our country, our community. And that's actually the same everywhere. We've seen the same principle even in national leaders. You know, they're very great at serving their country and then sometimes they're killed by their own countrymen. We know the story of Mahatma Gandhi. He spent his life serving his country, freeing his country. And he was killed by one of his countrymen. And you can't please everybody. Prabhupada says, one cannot satisfy his dependents by this illusory service. Although one can get out of the service, one cannot get out of the service because servant is his constitutional position. So we're actually servants. That's what we're supposed to do. But what is happening here, as Prabhupada goes on, a living entity is constitutionally part and parcel of the Supreme Being, but he forgets that he has to render service to the Supreme Being and divert his attention to serving others. This is called Maya. So this is what's happening. There's a nice story we know of Vamanadeva when he was about to be given a benediction from the king, whatever you want. Brahmin boy, I'll give you. And he just asks for 3 paces of land. And the king thinks he's pretty unintelligent because he could give him anything. He could give him a whole country, a whole, you know, whatever. I guess he owns the universe. You could probably give him a planet if he wanted to. But he said he didn't want anything. And his comment was that without contentment, one cannot be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture, must be maintained, and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. So Prabhupada goes on to say that this modern civilization, there's no such education. Everyone is just trying to possess more and more, and they're thinking that they'll be happy, but what's the result? Dissatisfaction, unhappiness. Nobody's satisfied. So Prabhupada says again here, the Krishna consciousness movement is therefore established various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the mature world, we're always pained by enemies. Seems like they come as own family members or people we're trying to please, or countrymen, society, communities. But actually, we have six enemies within even, too. And those are the senses. And King Mukchakunda was praying to Krishna very nicely. He was saying, for so long, I have been pained by troubles in this world, and I've been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated, and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O supreme soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have by good fortune approached your lotus feet, which are the truth, and which thus makes one fearless and free from sorrow. And Sridhar Swami also quotes a Vedic statement about the importance of this human form of life. After passing through many thousands of species and undergoing great trouble, the conditioned living entities finally obtain the human form. Thus, those human beings who still do not worship Lord Vishnu, who can bring them real happiness, have certainly become enemies of both themselves and humanity. So just see, how can you, an enemy satisfy you? Enemies are not trying to satisfy you. They're trying to hurt you. So it's what's saying here, that if we don't worship Lord Vishnu, then how do we expect to be happy? You know, we're actually becoming enemies to ourselves and to humanity. But in ancient times, we know that the king can actually please everyone. We know that King Prithu, they were telling about his glories even before. You know, they were singing about his glories. And they're saying that this king, he'll please everyone by his practical activities. And all the citizens will remain very satisfied. Because of this, the citizens will take great satisfaction in accepting him as their ruling king. So why is that? It's so difficult for people to please. There's even the statement that the key to failure is to try to please everyone. But here, this king is actually able to do that. There's another quote that says, persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. So we're getting a clue here of what it means to please, to be pleased and to be pleasing to others, is that we have to actually develop these qualities like King Prithu's saintly qualities. Because the devotees' association, it's very powerful. There's a quote, I think it's by, it's in the 11th canto. I think it's by the Navayugendras, or no, it's by the king praying to the Navayugendras. He's saying, O completely sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with a pure devotee within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. So just see, the association of devotee is so wonderful. It's so pleasing. It's so priceless. It's a treasure. It's a great treasure. Just like we become overjoyed to discover, oh, I have a great pleasure. So actually, intelligent people are very much overjoyed and happy to see the association of a devotee of Krishna. And to become a devotee, as Prabhupada mentions in this particular verse, is not a very difficult thing. It's actually very natural. It's easy. By nature, we're already attached to Krishna. But somehow or another, circumstantially, you know, we separated ourselves, just like Ajamil did, by performing sinful activities. But Krishna, he's actually not separated from us, because it says in the verse, Atmavat, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, and is within our hearts. And he's always there just watching for us to turn towards him, to turn from the dark to the light. The darkness of the material world, this illusory energy and service, to the light of serving Krishna. Prabhupada gave a nice lecture on this particular verse, and he was saying that just a little endeavor is sufficient to begin our business with Krishna. And what does that endeavor begin with? With hearing. So he says that's why we're holding classes every day in temples all over the world, just to give people this little endeavor. And what is that? Just simply by hearing. All you have to do is sit and hear about Krishna, and then that is when your business begins, when your association, attachment to Krishna begins. He quotes that verse, Srinivatam swakata Krishna, punya shravana kirtana. So Krishna is anxious. When you come, just a little bit, look towards me, then he will come towards you and you will come to the light. It's that easy. Just like the nice song that's always sung by the Temple Bhajan band, Tama Si Ma Jyotir Gama, that don't look forward to the darkness, but look for the light. You know, Prabhupada, his slogan in the Back to Godhead magazine is, you know, Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. So this is what we want to do, go to the light. And it's so easy, not only for just ourselves to hear, but Prabhupada says even children, they hear, they may not even understand, but still that hearing doesn't go in vain. Because they're hearing, it'll have an effect. Not only human beings, he says, but even, this was a lecture given in New Vrindavan. He said, just in the boundary of this temple, all the mosquitoes and even the germs within the temple boundary, they're hearing and it won't go in vain. So just see how simple and powerful hearing the holy name is. Just like you may not understand it, but still, by hearing it, you'll become pious and you'll become sinless. This is the beauty of the Punya Shravana Kirtana. You become pious. Because unless you're pious, you will not become fit to understand Krishna. Because it's described that one has to be sinless in order to understand Krishna. And becoming sinless is not like an extra endeavor for the devotees. You simply come and sit and hear, and then you become automatically pious. And gradually, you become more and more pure. And this begins just by having a little faith. You know, oh yeah, let me just find out what's going on at the temple. Let me sit down here. So then, that's Shraddha. And then, you do it properly. Then you develop some attachment. You know, you want association. Increases more, then you want to take initiation. So this happens. It's a very nice progressive process. So therefore, that's our duty, is to please the Supreme Personality of God. And how? He gives us the instruction. Yare deketari kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara Agyaya Guruhana Tara Edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. Prabhupada says, by doing this, this will make you qualified to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that verse in the 18th chapter, Yaidam Paramam Guyam, that one who preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There's all kinds of welfare activities, you know, in the world. But Prabhupada says that the supreme welfare activity is spreading Krishna consciousness. You see, because you can't, other welfare activities, they can't actually be effective. Why? Because the laws of nature is such that this karmic karma cannot be checked. Prabhupada says here, it is by destiny or the law of karma that one must suffer and joy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is obligation to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Taishava hetu prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upari ada. That one should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of reactions to karma. And then Prabhupada ends his sentence here by saying, if one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him with whatever he wants. So Prabhupada says that we actually have experience of how the Americans and the Europeans, how because of their full Krishna consciousness, they've actually purified their whole families. And he mentions how a mother of a devotee, at the time of her death, she was thinking of Krishna. And he says, therefore, it is theoretically true and has been proven practically that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and his nation. So we're getting the clue here how to actually satisfy everybody. And this is, the Lord is pleased. Just like King Prithu was satisfied with, well, I mean, Lord Vishnu was very satisfied with King Prithu. And it was by his good character and behavior that he was satisfied with him. And because he became a pure devotee of Krishna. And this is what the Vedic scriptures want us to do, that we have to develop this unalloyed, unflinching devotional service to Krishna. Because we're a part and parcel of Krishna, then that's our natural tendency, is to serve Krishna in this way. So there's a nice quote how important devotional service is, that it is the real method, because it's by devotional service one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just with a few words. But without devotional service, if you have volumes of books, you can't satisfy Krishna. So even though the preachers of Krishna consciousness, they may not be able to describe the glories of the Lord, you know, by volumes of books in so many ways, but still they go everywhere and they just request everybody, please just chant Hare Krishna. Ata pumbira dvija shrestha vanashrama vibhaga saha Sanutisha Dharmasya Samhidir Tari Toshinam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is our perfection. That's the highest perfection. is if we simply satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everyone else is pleased. So let's see here at the time. So Prabhupada writes very nicely here how it's not difficult to please. I'll just finish with this. It says here, therefore it is not difficult. You have to approach Krishna. My Lord, I am servant, but I could not please anyone. Neither anyone is pleased upon me. This is material service. You serve the whole life, your so-called friends, family, countrymen. We have got this experience at Mahatma Gandhi. He served his whole life. Still, he was killed by his countrymen. So you may go on service in the material world, but nobody will be satisfied. Nobody will be satisfied. So this service is useless. Turn to the service of Krishna immediately. It is not very difficult. Servant, we are practiced to serve. We are not master. We have been practiced. By nature, we are servant. So turn this service to Krishna. It is not difficult. If I am trained up to become a faithful servant, just become a faithful servant of Krishna. Then your business is complete. Nahi achutam prinayato bahu ashaha. Much endeavor. There is no question of learning. Much endeavor. We are already accustomed to give service. Simply turn it towards Krishna and your life is successful. And then Prabhupada gives another very perfect example about Krishna consciousness and the devotees, how they can please everyone. And he says it's evident by this Krishna consciousness movement that we invite everyone without discrimination. Please sit down, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and take prasadam. And we supply and everyone's pleased with us. So this is a qualification, he says. So as far as purification, no one could be more pure than the devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified inside and out. Since a devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. And any person who is purely Krishna conscious, who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, is the purest in the whole universe. So actually, we know the key to success is what they think is actually the key to failure. And that's what we can please everyone simply by pleasing Krishna. So param vijayate shri Krishna sankirtanam. So thank you very much. Any comments, questions? Yes, sir, Prabhu. Sure. That's why we say, sit down, take prasad. How much water down can you get? That's great, yeah. Otherwise, yeah, that's it. It's so simple. We don't have to speculate and try to come up with new ideas and, you know, speculate on how to spread Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has given us the method, and it's working still. Yes. Yes. No change. No change, no amendment, no... What's your quote? No amendment, no... It's Prabhupada's quote that you like to quote all the time. Yes. Yes, Samala Bhakta Prabhu. They haven't been using it lately, so I don't know. Yeah. So Sura was saying that we should try to water down the philosophy to please everybody. So then I'm town for everybody. So... I'm saying, please. It doesn't work?
Yeah, that's a good question. Should we wind it down? But Prabhupada, as you just mentioned, that if we wind it down, he said, what we need to do is water our hearts and purify our hearts.
Oh, there it is. Maybe it works.
He said, we need to water our hearts and purify our hearts so that the purity of our hearts will have impact and will have force, and have the power to truly transform persons from within them. If we just try to please them, we may please them externally, but that doesn't mean they're going to become Krishna conscious. If we can somehow touch their hearts, move their hearts, turn their hearts towards Krishna by virtue of our enthusiasm, our love for Krishna, our interest in Krishna, and our conviction in the greatness and glory of Krishna, that will do more than all the watering down in the world will do. And Prabhupada didn't water anything down. Actually, he preached very strongly, very firmly, and he had this determination, didn't care what anyone thought about some very controversial things that he said. So that is his purity, that is his conviction, that is his love of Krishna.
Yeah, that's confirming the quote that I had mentioned, how even a half a moment's association of a pure devotee is priceless treasure for everyone. So Prabhupada wanted us to become, like Amala Bhakti says, a priceless treasure for everyone. Yes, Prabhu.
By satisfying Krishna, all living beings are satisfied. But, you know, we see them, demons, how we can satisfy them. They are killing devotees sometimes. So we can, you know, demons, they are also living beings. How we can satisfy demons?
Okay,
but the statement is, you know, it's contradictory. Can you explain that?
Okay, I got the first part of your question. Is it... What's
okay,
the second part?
By satisfying Krishna, all living beings are satisfied.
Right.
What about demons?
Demons?
They're also living beings.
Yeah.
So it's contradictory. You see.
Yeah. Demon is just a means that they're trying to satisfy the illusory energy. So that's why you're here. You're out distributing books, and you're distributing books to the demons. And by touching that book, getting your association, they're getting satisfied, whether they know it or not. That's how you're satisfying them. So you're actually satisfying everybody in the world. Yes, okay. Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. In another statement, Srila Prabhupada says, no one can agree with anyone. And
no one can what?
No one can, not everybody, you cannot agree with everyone.
Oh, agree, okay.
Unless you worship Krishna. But now, in the history of religious groups, organizations, we have seen so many splits, so many Bibles or Bhagavad Gita's denominations. So even for those who already separate themselves, yes, we material life is useless. We want God. And even within spirituality, there is no agreements. So I want you to see. I want to see if you can make a comment that, like for example, Srila Prabhupada left when the Gaudiya Mai was there. There was no agreement. He came and he established his Krishna consciousness. And nowadays we have seen also within our society, ISKCON, there are already some splints or deviations or whatever, and they're really convinced that they're pleasing Krishna. They're chanting Hare Krishna. They believe in Prabhupada, in their understanding, and we also do. So what is the common ground there? Is he actually Krishna pleased with those devotees? Is they or those other people from other organizations who they believe in God, and but they don't agree necessarily with everyone, whatever organization they started from the beginning to?
Yeah, that's a very big topic. It probably take... Wow, there's so many different aspects we could go on that, but I'll just bring up one thing that comes to my mind, is that there's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and if there's cooperation between all these three, even though there may be differences in preaching methods and different ideas, we can harmonize those if we actually try to balance everything with this Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Just like the government is set up with the, what is it, the congressional, the judiciary, all these different things. There's like checks and balances to keep people in line. So if we just try to do that, try to please the sadhus, the guru, and the shastras. So yes, Savas Prabhu.
Yeah, I think you were saying you can't always please. If you try to please everybody, you won't please anybody.
Yeah.
And Sir used to always say that, some quote about,
yeah,
Prabhupada said, if you go out and dance on her head or something. What was that quote?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you trying to
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, one time Prabhupada made a statement that if they actually knew what my mission was, they would kill me. This Prabhupada made that statement, if they actually knew. So, you can't please everybody. And Prabhupada never tried to. That wasn't his mission, to please everybody. His mission was to please Krishna. And then there was a few sincere souls that took it up seriously and helped Prabhupada's mission. So that'll always be the case. So neither should we try to please everybody all the time. Our purpose is to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what we should try to please. And then we'll please those sincere souls that want to get out of the material world. Otherwise, we'll be caught up in so many isms and so many different situations and bodily consciousness of life. And then we'll be like that person with his son and the donkey. And in the end, we won't have anything. So really, our position should be focused, serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and chant the holy name, and spread a gazillion books around the world. Let that be the preaching. And yes, there'll be some disturbed people by that. But there's always someone disturbed. You can just sit out here someday and you'll see there's about 3 or 4 disturbed people that'll come here every day. Seriously disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
As we heard before, I don't know if it was you that made that comment, something like 40% of Americans are on some kind of a drug.
Hmm.
And the other 60% are on coffee. Starbucks.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, how can you think straight? How can you possibly think straight when you don't even have your state of mind? And then we're going to try to please a person like that? How is that possible? So, let's please Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Jai. It's true. It's interesting how Prabhupada said that simply not only human beings get affected by hearing this small mantra, but the mosquitoes, the germs, anybody that's around hears this mantra.
In pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada was the biggest and best gentleman ever.
Yes.
He was gentle to everyone automatically. And if you had his association, you'd love him immediately.
Yeah.
You may not agree with him. There were a lot of people didn't agree with Srila Prabhupada, but they loved him regardless because he was such a gentleman. So let us become gentlemen and ladies.
Yes.
And spread this message.
Okay. That's cool. But that's power. Go ahead, Naikatma Prabhu.
In the early days, in 1972, there was a Radha Damodar traveling party, and they had this roadshow program going on.
Yeah.
And at one point, the devotees, certain devotees wanted to take over the program, and they started straying off from the original intent, which Vishnu John Maharaj had, and to the point where Vishnu John Maharaj left, and many of the devotees who stayed there in New York and engaged in that program with Broadway and very nice professional presentation were slowly getting discouraged. And when Prabhupada heard about this, he immediately sent out a letter saying that this show should immediately stop. Our purpose is not to try and appeal to so many different groups of people and water down our presentation. We're simply kirtan men. So the process is just chanting Hare Krishna and presenting it nicely and chanting purely. We don't need to strain our brains to try and appeal to this group and that group and lose sight of what our business is.
Yes, that's the Padam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Yes, Prabhu, did you have a question? Comment?
Thanks for a wonderful class, Prabhu. Just another point. I remember once in breakfast, I recall hearing a story about one Grihastha who came up with a different sort of style of preaching. And everyone was saying, oh, you know, this Prabhu is in Maya, you know, he's... but I guess what he did was he made a billboard that had like an advertisement with the devotees, you know, and they were going on Harinam. And then, you know, there was one person who says, I'm not going if I can't wear my Levi's t-shirt or something, you know. And it was like, it was a very humorous kind of little advertisement. And he was criticized severely for doing that as being like, as he was deviant or something. But he actually took Prabhupada to go, to see it. Yeah. And, he was just waiting. He was cringing, I guess, waiting to hear what he would say. But Prabhupada was actually very pleased. He said, what did you think of that sign, Prabhupada? And he said, well, whoever made this is very intelligent. You know, so, I mean, it seems as though there's some leeway. But, I mean, I don't know. Could you maybe explain a bit about, to what extent we can experiment with reaching people, and to what extent... But I mean, without watering down the original essence.
Yeah, just like Prabhupada came to America, and according to time, place, and circumstance, he adopted things that, it seems like acharyas have that's a principle to actually apply things to a particular place and time without changing the principles. And then if we're not sure, then there's back to that guru, shastra, and sadhu that we discuss amongst the saintly devotees in the community. We confirm it with the spiritual master, and we can see it's in the scriptures. So if it's in that, and it has some good effect, then yes. So it's not that we just take off, just take off and start doing something on your own without getting the blessings, as they say. So that's the important thing. Okay? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.